Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm your host, Brian Russo. Coming up on today's program, we'll learn about crime fighting in the digital age, from surveillance cameras to something called victimology. And we'll also talk to a bug expert who will tell us about new concerns regarding West Nile virus and Lyme disease in our region. And we'll take you aboard an awe-inspiring replica of a Spanish galleon that is docked in the Ocean City Harbor for the next few weeks. But first, this coming Monday marks the first day of school for most kids in our coastal region. And for students in Worcester County, there will be some pretty noticeable changes when they walk in the door. From the door itself to the armed guard greeting them when they arrive. The Worcester County Sheriff's Department has deputized 13 new officers that will make up the school security division. So every day, all day, there will be one armed guard in each of Worcester County's public schools. To learn more about this and other added security measures undoubtedly motivated by the Sandy Hook tragedy in Connecticut last year, I sat down with Superintendent of Worcester County Schools, Dr. Jerry Wilson, earlier this week.
Well, when parents arrive at their school, we want them to still see a very welcoming environment when they drop their children off, when they come into the schools. But the reality for our schools is that the changes have occurred and will be occurring due to the need to improve the safety in our already safe schools. When we look at our schools, it's one of the few places in the public sphere where we don't have some level of protection. So the first thing that you mentioned is that we will have school deputies at each school site. They will be present to increase the level of security that we have, not only in our buildings, but on our grounds. And our expectation is that these individuals will provide an additional level of security that we otherwise would not be able to provide. Parents will come after the children have come into the school to a locked front entrance. That entrance has a video camera that will allow people in the office to screen all the visitors. They will need to be buzzed into the building, at which time they'll come to the front desk and then they'll present their visitor ID. Then they'll be given clearance to go where they need to go into the building. So that's the biggest change that people will encounter. And as I've gone into a variety of different public buildings, from buildings in the Senate to our county offices, numerous public areas, we have a higher degree of security than what we provided for the safety of our children and for our staff. And so since December 2012, we've been looking at how do we ensure the security and safety of our kids and our staff even more than what we have in the past. So we ask people to work with us around these changes. We want to make our schools as welcoming as possible, but we also need to respond to these security concerns.
Obviously, a change like this, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of different layers, specifically the cost. And, you know, obviously any school district throughout the country is dealing with tight budgetary concerns. Tell me a little bit about what it took to get this into motion and be ready for the start of school on Monday, you know, not only from a cost perspective, but also from a manpower perspective.
Well, going back again to last year, we had law enforcement step up and offer increased security coverage in our schools, and they maintained that throughout the remainder of the year. Sheriff Mason, in combination with the Board of Education, looked at a solution to present to the county commissioners that would provide this level of security that we're going to be able to offer. The sheriff offered the commissioners several alternatives, and in close working relationship with the commissioners came up with this solution. We certainly were working with them throughout the whole process to try to find a solution that would best benefit our schools, and we think we found a very strong security solution. In addition, in terms of the capital improvements for the buildings themselves, the commissioners also stated, when I went to speak with them, how much they were concerned and their commitment towards helping us improve the overall security in our buildings. So they were tremendously cooperative from the very beginning. The state of Maryland also came forward with a matching grant opportunity. So the state, in combination with our county, supplied the necessary resources to purchase the security measures that we already talked about.
And it seems to send a very clear message to the community here in Worcester County that the school system the law enforcement system and the politicians are all on the same page when it comes to security in our schools. Tell me what you've heard from parents throughout the county throughout the summer once they realized that this was all going to be happening.
I think people are initially surprised, but pleased. They're pleased because they see the responsiveness in these new systems. They already have a high degree of trust in Worcester County Public Schools and the way that our teachers work with our children every day. This, I think, is an extension of that level of trust. So I sense that some will be relieved, some will be surprised, and some may be disappointed that things have to get to this degree. But I think the new reality is this is the way that we need to have our schools conducted so that they are safe environments, even in the threat of an active shooter.
That was Dr. Jerry Wilson, superintendent of Worcester County Schools. We now turn from a topic you could call the children are our future to something more like the storms of our past. This week marks the 80th anniversary of the famous 1933 storm that separated the landmass of Ocean City from what we now know as Assateague Island, carving the inlet and setting into motion a new path for this region, both literally and figuratively. Bunk Mann is an author and a local historian, and he believes the 1933 storm was the most significant in the town's history.
The town was very small in 1933. City limits were 15th Street on the north and actually South 7th Street on the south, which today the city limits of Ocean City extend from the Delaware line to South 2nd Street. And the five blocks missing are under the inlet right now.
Right.
In 33, they had no idea the storm was approaching, I mean, in the extent that it did. In 62, they really didn't. Hurricane Gloria, they did know. I'd say the 33 storm was the most important event. Probably 62, well, not probably, definitely 62 was the worst storm. And Hurricane Gloria is significant because it led to the beach replenishment program, sure, which, in my opinion, is one of the best things that ever happened to Ocean City.
Yeah. So let's go back to that notion of how they knew the storm was coming. You know, I know reading back into the history that there was several days of rain before the storm even hit. How much of this area and the people who lived in the area were completely blindsided by the storm?
Probably most of the area was blindsided by the storm. Prior to 33, there really hadn't been a bad storm in over a decade. People had become complacent. They had nor'easters every year, you know, as we do now. And these people were pretty, they were hardy people. I mean, they worked 3 months of the year for years living, the ones in the tourism industry. The pound fishermen, of course, worked probably 7 months in conditions that you and I would not even dare even do. I mean, out there in these boats and the waves and the weather and that type of thing. Weather reporting in those days was in its infancy. I mean, if there was any reporting at all, it was usually done after the fact rather than before. It rained for 4 days prior. Some reports say up to 10 inches a day. And at the time of when the actual hurricane hit, the bay had swollen to epic proportions. I mean, water had backed up past Herring Creek, which, to those that are not familiar with the area, is a couple miles outside of Ocean City. Mm-hmm. And I have this from people I've interviewed that remember that time, that lived through the storm. Most of them, well, all of them are old now, in their 80s and 90s. And they all remember the rain, the water. The wind was not that bad. The losses to property in 33, the main losses were to the railroad. The railroad bridge was washed out. And the railroad tracks that, when the inlet was cut, were undermined and washed out. And the storm actually ended the railroad for Ocean City. But the boardwalk was torn up, but not a lot of serious property damage beyond that.
But, you know, of course, the most dramatic thing that happened during the 33 storm was, as you mentioned, the carving out of what we now know as the Ocean City Inlet. In researching this book that you're working on now and talking to people who lived through it, how did they describe when the landmass broke apart?
Most of them, of course, they all were children. The people I've interviewed were children at the time, anywhere from 4, 5, 6 years old to, I think, 13 or 14 years old. So most of them saw it through a child's eyes. I have several quotes in my book where people talk about how frightened they were. It seemed like their world was being torn apart. They thought everything was going to wash away out of the ocean. It's probably significant here to say that it was the bay that carved the inlet, not the ocean. Most people just assume that the ocean cut through and cut the inlet, but the water that had backed up from the rain actually had to go somewhere, and it went, found the lowest area, which was down around 4th Street, 5th Street, South 4th, 5th Street, and went through there. And these people that recall it, they remember seeing houses wash out. I mean, it sounded like a Johnstown flood type of thing. The fish camps were there, nets, boats, cars. They watched all this stuff wash out over a period of 3 or 4 days. Yeah. And most of them were pretty frightened by it.
How do you think Ocean City grew because it was separated from Assateague Island, and perhaps what you believe it might have looked like if it would have all stayed together?
It laid the groundwork in the sense that it created a harbor, and which had not been there before. Prior to 33, the bay was shallow, it was brackish, and there was no way to access the ocean from anywhere near Ocean City. There was no inlet anywhere near that. So the inlet created the sports fishing industry as we have today. There'd be no white marlin open. There'd be no charter fishing. There'd be no commercial harbor. It created the inlet parking lot because when they put the jetties in, it stopped the southern shift of sand and it built up the beach.
Is there one story that stands out to you?
There's a fellow in Salisbury. His name is Doc Turner. And Doc's probably in his 90s now. He was there during the storm. And I'm just going to read the quote from the book. He said, the railroad tracks were being undercut by waters rushing back to the ocean. And the tracks of the fish camps had started bending. The water was rushing beneath them, and there was no sand left to support them. There were a couple of boxcars on the tracks. I saw two just roll over and fall into the water. They just toppled over and sank. They disappeared.
As we look back 80 years later on this storm that impacted, you know, the town that we live in and the community that we live in, you know, what do you think is important for people to remember when looking back 80 years ago?
Oh, well, one thing to remember is I think how resilient the people in Ocean City are, that they could take something at the time that looked like a very bad event and turn it into something so positive. And I think the other thing to remember is that Mother Nature is always going to be the boss.
That was Bunk Mann, author and local historian, speaking to me about the famous 1933 storm which carved the Ocean City Inlet. To learn more and to see pictures, click to our website, wamucoast.org. We'll take a momentary break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Russo.